Well, here we are once again, and just a couple days before Christmas, an exciting time of the year. A lot of things happening. We've been talking for the past month about the light of Christ coming. We've been talking about the Word becoming flesh and dwelling among us. We saw the video at the beginning of the service that dealt with that, the true miracle of Christmas, and what a wonderful miracle that is and what it means to each and every one of us today. Give us the power and the strength that we need to carry on in this world today. It's a hard life, and I think we all are aware of that. We all face tough times in our lives, and we need to know that He will never let us go. I like the song Emmanuel. In a popular society, in a culture today, you would sing a song like that, and we would say, "I'll never let you go," is what we would sing if it was a country song or something like that. But I like the way the song goes here. It says, "He will never let me go." And that's what brings more comfort to me. It's not upon my ability to hold on to Him, but it's His ability to hold on to me, that I don't have to worry, that I can face the difficult times in my life. We've been talking about the right people for the right task. We've talked about being in the right place at the right time. And we've associated all these things with the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Today, we're going to put all this together. We're going to flesh it out, if you so to speak, and explain what that means to each and every one of us. What does it actually boil down to as far as what's required of us with the coming of Christ? Now, I've titled the message this morning, The Good News Must Be Told. And we'll find this in the Gospel of Luke, a very familiar passage of the Christmas story. Luke chapter 2 will be in the 8th verse in just a minute. So Luke chapter 2, verse 8. The good news must be told. Have you ever thought about that before? Anytime you hear good news, what is your first inclination? Maybe you get a phone call saying somebody is expecting, or somebody has just had a child. What's the first thing you want to do? You want to call somebody and tell them and share that good news that you have heard, so you can be a spreader of the joy of the event that you've just heard about. Maybe you found out you're going to get a big tax refund back or something. Amen? So say amen. Say amen. How many of y'all want a tax refund this year? Say amen. All right, there we go. All right, just making sure. You find out about that, and you want to let everybody know, except for the church, because we'll find out how much 10% of it is. We'll take it. But nonetheless, we'll be glad to rejoice with you. We're excited when good things happen. Maybe you get that job that you've been applying for, that you've been wanting to get for such a long time, and we hear good news, and we want to share it. It's just the way we're wired, the way we're built. When we hear good things, we want to share it with everybody else. Then why in the world should it be any different when we're talking about the greatest story ever told, the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? It is a story that needs to be told. It's good news that must be told. So let's look at our text here again. You can probably have a lot of this memorized, but nonetheless, verse 8 says in Luke chapter 2, "Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, watching over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, a lion in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth goodwill towards men.' And so it was, when the angels had gone from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, that the Lord has made known to us.' And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them." Let's go to our Lord to ask Him to bless the reading of His Word. Lord Jesus, we thank You for this day. And Lord, we thank You for the greatest story ever told, the story of Jesus, and what it means to each and every one of us here today. Lord, along with the story comes an obligation to each and every one of us to become heralds of the gospel ourselves, to be like the shepherds and go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere that Jesus Christ is born, and what that means to each and every one, to bring hope, to bring light into this dark world. Lord, this world needs Jesus, and Lord, you've put the church here to share that good news of Jesus Christ with this world, and Lord, I pray that you'll find us faithful in doing that, and Lord, that this message today will help motivate us and move us to do just that as well. So Lord, we ask your blessings on the reading of God's word this morning. We ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So what can we say about this good news this morning? Well, there's three things that we can say about it. One thing is that it is a revelation from God. It is a revelation that is from God. It was a message sent by God to a certain people at a certain time, and it's a revelation of God to God, of God from God, if you can. Look, if you will, in verse 8, and let's see how this works out. First of all, it says they were in the same country, shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. If you like to write in your Bibles, I got several key words I'd like for you to remember this morning. And the first thing I'd like you to think of here as we talk about the revelation that's from God is ordinary. Ordinary. They were in the same country. Shepherds. There's nothing special about a shepherd in these days. It's one of the lowliest positions that you have. This is a minimum wage type job. I started to think of some ordinary jobs. There's no such thing as an ordinary job, and I wouldn't even go that far as to saying that. But this was not a high-profile job. This was just an ordinary job. It was a lowly job. They were shepherds living out in the fields, keeping over their watch of their flock by night. They were in the same country. They're in the region of Bethlehem, in the region of Jerusalem. We talked about how Joseph and Mary came down from Nazareth up in the area of Galilee and the Sea of Galilee, how it was a 90-mile journey from Nazareth down to Bethlehem, and it was a 3-day journey. So we're not talking about shepherds that are up there in the area of Galilee or even Samaria, but right here around Jerusalem, right here around Bethlehem, which is right there close together. And some have speculated that perhaps these sheep that the shepherd are watching are sheep that could be used in the temple as sacrifices for the Lord, as offerings unto the Lord. It makes perfectly good sense to think about it in that context. Here they are keeping the sheep that would be offered as sacrifice to the Lord, and they're called from the sheep to meet with the Lamb of God, and how appropriate that would be if that was the case. Nonetheless, they were shepherds. They were ordinary people. It wasn't the religious elite. It wasn't the latest and greatest out of the Hollywood or some public figure such as that. Just ordinary people that God exposes this revelation to and the responsibility along with it. God can reveal himself to us and challenge us in the same way. Just ordinary people. Now we you may have different jobs or different capacity or different economic standards or standings or whatever it may be. But God's just calling ordinary folk just like us to reveal himself to. Ordinary. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, verse 9 said. The glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. The angel said, don't be afraid, for behold, I bring to you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. I'm bringing good news to all the world here by the message that I'm proclaiming here. And it says, for there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Christ is his title. It's not his name. It's his title. And an Old Testament equivalent to Christ would be something like Messiah. So what he's saying, the Messiah has come. Jesus Christ, Christ the Lord has come. The Savior has come. His name is Christ. His name is Jesus. Emmanuel, God with us, as we sang just a little while ago. Keep in mind what this is. The first line we associate it with the word ordinary. This one would be an oracle. An oracle. An oracle is a message from a supernatural source. An angel from God comes down and presents this message, and this oracle, if you will, from a supernatural sense. It is that supernatural that is coming from God. So ordinary people receive the oracle or a word from God. What is the oracles of God today? We have them found in the Word of God. If this is indeed the inspired Word of God, as it claims to itself to be, then we have the very oracles of God found in our Bibles. And we have a message to proclaim to others as well. It tells us of our problem in our life, that we're separated from God because of our sinfulness. But it gives us a solution in Christ Jesus, and only in Christ Jesus can that problem be resolved. The oracles of God given to ordinary men, given to ordinary women, given to us today, we have the oracles of God. And the revelation of God is for ordinary people, and we have the Word of God exposed to each and every one of us, revealed to each and every one of us. Some people say, you know, when God goes to speaking to us, we have some problems with that. It's hard to understand. It's complicated to know what God's will is and His direction for our lives. Look at verse 12. And this will be a sign to you. You'll find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. This is very specific. This is very obvious. You want to work for this one? Here it is. It's obvious. Ordinary people, given the Word of God, the oracles of God, and it's something that is obvious and it's something that is clear. God doesn't want His will to be a mystery in your life. He wants to reveal His will to you in your life so that you can fulfill what God would desire for you to do. And He's done that by giving us His Word. This will be a sign to you. We talked about this last week when the birth of Christ occurred in the earlier part of Luke chapter 2, in the first 7 verses, what we looked at last week. Said, you'll find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. I said, that's not very unusual. Anybody of their economic standards here, anybody that would be poor, their baby would be wrapped in swaddling clothes, loose cloths to hold the baby tightly together. It's amazing how tightly they wrap the babies in the hospital in good blankets. We saw that just recently with Griffin. But nonetheless, they wrap the baby up. That's not unusual. What was unusual, as we pointed out last time, to find a babe lying in a manger. Now, that is the ultimate poverty. That is the ultimate humility to be pretty much in a feeding trough during this time. This will be a sign to you. It's going to be obvious to you. This revelation that I'm talking about, when you go, you'll find it. If you seek it, you'll find it. That's what the Bible says. You seek, and it'll be, you knock, and it'll be open unto you. Go seek. Do what's obvious. Do what the Word of God tells us, and He'll give us the direction that we need. It's pretty clear in our life today that God will give us a clarity with what He wants us to do with our lives. It's clear. The scribes and the Pharisees says, show us a sign. He's already performed all these miracles. Show us a sign that we may know that you are the Son of God. And He said, no sign will be given unto you except for the sign of Jonah. What sign is that? The burial for 3 days and the resurrection from the grave, where the grave spit out Christ, so to speak. You know, that miracle pretty much encompasses it all. You might think that miracle, that sign, does not address the issues that we're facing today. Melody up here today in tears because her son's in the hospital today. Mr. Franklin's in rehab today, and he's wondering if he's ever going to make it back to the church again. He thinks that other Wednesday night was his last Wednesday night in the church when he made it a couple of weeks ago. He don't know. He's uncertain about these things. We're all facing uncertain times. And this doesn't just address the issues that we're facing, or does it? I think a risen Savior covers all the issues we're facing, because that's where the hope is found, in Christ Jesus and Him alone. It's in the revelation of God. It's an ordinary, revealed to ordinary people. We have the Word of God, the oracles of God, and it's obvious if we just look to Christ. Amen. That's important, because we move to our second point. Not only the revelations of God is found here, but the focus has got to be on God. The focus is on God. Look at verse 13 and 14. Suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Some translations have it interpreted like this, towards men of goodwill. I had one of my Bibles that I carried to a class years ago. I had written in pencil beside of it where one of the professors said, peace towards men of goodwill. And then after that I wrote, there is no peace for the wicked. It's peace for those that are men of goodwill. What is goodwill? Goodwill means God's will. Those that are willing to accomplish God's will in their life. What I'm trying to point out here on this focus is on God. One O word for us here is simply this, the ovation. The praise and glory belongs to God. That's where the attention has to be. It has to be pointed towards Christ. Notice that the angels are given the praise. They're not receiving the praise. Anytime an angel would come with a message to anyone in the Scriptures to reveal to them God's will, and they would fall down and worship before the angel would say, don't worship me, worship God. Amen. They're not there to receive the glory of God. They're just showing people the glory of God, revealing the glory of God to people. The angels are praising God. The shepherds are just simply witnessing the praise. They're not receiving the praise themselves either. I was wondering when we were singing Nelda, when we were singing the song we talked about the shepherds a little bit there ago, and I said, I wonder if the shepherds ever realized that the cantata is written about them. Who would ever thought the shepherds would see such a prominence in the Bible? And what a privilege they have here. But nonetheless, they're not here to receive the praise. They're the ones going to be given the praise in just a little while. And right now they're witnessing the praise of the angels and how wonderful that must be. But the glory must always go to God. And that will help us through any situation that we face. Whenever the focus shifts from God to man, then we're in trouble. I want to think about this for just a minute. I had a privilege the other day to go to an NC State football game. Sarah, I knew this. You knew this was going to come up eventually. They played Maryland in their last game of the season. And what a game it was. It started out tied, 0-0. And that was the only time it was tied when they get off. It wasn't long. It was like 920-0, I think is what the score was. I don't know what it was bad, but anyway. But we went in there, and I got to sit in the student section and everything, and it was kind of neat. And, you know, students at State can be a little bit on the rowdy side. I don't know about other colleges, but they can be a little rowdy. It was interesting, to say the least. But there and there, and they're like, we're number one. Yeah, we're going to win. We're going to beat Maryland. You stink, Maryland. They're just so excited about what's going on and everything. And, you know, pumped up and ready to see some exciting football, and they come running out, and yay, they cheer and all this other stuff. And then the game gets going along a little bit. They get a little bit behind. That's all right. We can do it. That's all right. We can do it. And the next thing I'm starting to hear behind me is, what you going to do after the game? I think we're going to have a party over yonder, and we're going to have some wings, and we're going to have a good time over there. You know, I noticed, first of all, it was the referee's fault that they weren't doing good. And then all of a sudden, it was one player's fault or another player's fault. Before long, they could care less about what was going on the field, and all this bickering was going on right there in the stands around us. Everybody had forgot about the game because it wasn't going the way they wanted it to go. I remember Benny saying one time when he was here, he is here, but he's not here today, but nonetheless, but he was saying one time, nobody likes to be a part of a losing team. And that's true. Nobody likes to be a part of a losing team. Everybody wants to be on the winning side, on the winning team. Listen, if you're saved this morning, you are on the winning team. I don't know what you're facing in your life today and what crisis you're facing today, but you're on the winning team. Look at the back of the book. I know that's not popular in a novel, but look at the back of the book, and the Bible makes it clear that Jesus wins, okay? And that's the team that you're on. So regardless of what you're facing now, look and you can see that you're on the winning team. I remember Tim LaHaye speaking in Jacksonville, Florida, the one who wrote Left Behind, and he said at that time that his last book was going to be called just that, Jesus Wins. I think he's written the last book, and he didn't call it that, but nonetheless, he said it was going to, and maybe that's the thesis behind it, but nonetheless, that's the story. You know, crises strike all of us, and I was just overwhelmed last week when I started thinking about it. We've got a lot of folks in our church today that's really operating in crisis mode. A lot of things aren't going the way that we think they ought to go, and we start focusing on those crises in our life, and it really brings us down and it gets us discouraged. If you're going through a hard time today, you're going through a crisis in your life, it's probably one of these three reasons. One is you made poor choices. You go driving around all over Morrisville, driving 90 miles an hour everywhere you go, I can just about guarantee your insurance rates are going to go up. And you're going to say, I can't believe the insurance companies are so cruel to me, but you're the one driving erratically. You're the one driving irresponsibly. We say, well, why is the Lord let me have lung cancer? Well, you've been smoking 20 packs of cigarettes for the past 80 years. No wonder you got cancer, you know? Sometimes we make bad choices. Sometimes these crises in our lives are just because we live in a fallen world. And there's really nothing we can do about it. That crazy person driving 90 miles an hour might be the one that ran into the side of us when we were obeying the speed limit. We can't help it, but God has given us the free will to choose what we want to do and how we want to live our lives. And sometimes that brings negative consequences into our lives. I don't think death was a part of God's plan from the beginning, but death invaded because of the disobedience of sin. And because of that, now we all face death. We all face sickness. We all face pains and aches and aging and whatnot. It's just the fact we live in a fallen world. Or as I mentioned with Melody a little earlier, could be the spiritual warfare going on. God wants you to bring Him all the glory, but Satan doesn't like that. And he's going to do whatever he can to put you on the sidelines and render you ineffective. Listen, as long as we don't focus on ourselves and we're focused on God, that'll get us through anything. Like the song said, he'll never let you go. And I hope that you believe that today. So don't be focusing too much on the crisis. I mean, sure, you've got to go through it. And I'm not trying to belittle anybody's crisis because I know they're real. But just keep your focus on God and he'll bring you through, I promise you. The revelation of God, the focus of God, and finally the proclamation is for God. The proclamation is for God. So it was, verse 15 says, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's now go into Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. You want a word for that? That's obedience. Obedience. Now, it doesn't say specifically here that when the announcement was made to them in verse 12 that they needed to go. But I would get an impression if an angel appeared to you, Steve, and gave you a message about God's going to be doing this great work just right down the street, that you probably ought to go. I don't know. It doesn't say that. But yet, it's assumed that that's going to happen. If you know God's up to something and God's going to bless the world through it, you need to be a part of what God's doing. Don't be afraid to be a part of what God's doing, but be ready to join in where God is working. That's what Henry Blackaby says in Experiencing God. Look where God is working and join him there. Don't be afraid of it. Follow in obedience. Remember, the sin of omission can be just as bad, if not worse, than the sin of commission. We need to be a part of what God's doing, and that requires obedience. Verse 16, and they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph lying in a manger. Here's a word for you, observe. They observed what was going on. They witnessed it for themselves. First-hand report, not secondary news, not a secondary source here. This is a first-hand report that they received for themselves. They went to the manger. It's not that they heard about it and told people what they had heard. They heard about it. They verified it for themselves. They observed it for themselves. It's a first-hand report. Now, the Bible is the Word of God. If it's the inspired Word of God, the infallible Word of God and all this, then certainly we have, as I said earlier, the oracles of God recorded for us in Scripture, the Word of God here. So when we're reading the Bible, we're reading the Word of God. We're getting it firsthand from God, from the inspired Word of God. So we can say by the authority of the Word of God that we have observed these things for ourselves. We weren't at the manger, but we have it from a very reliable source, from the inspired Word of God about what has taken place, and we can tell people about it. We can also share our testimony from while God has worked in our lives. We've got a lot to do. We've got a lot to say. We've witnessed it firsthand. Firsthand from the Word of God. The next one there, now when they, verse 17, when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told him concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which told them by the shepherds. This is the oration. Oration. O-R-A-T-I-O-N. Oration. A speech to an audience is what an oration is. They told the people what they had seen, what they had witnessed, the firsthand account of what they saw. They went out and let it be known to everyone what they had witnessed and what they had saw. They told everyone what they had witnessed in that manger. They witnessed the revelation of God, the Word of God becoming flesh, and they saw it with their own eyes, and they're focused on God, and they're telling the whole world about what they had witnessed in that place. The oration, they made it public, what God has done for the world. It's amazing the announcements that we can make. It's amazing we can profess our faith and tell people what Jesus has done in our lives. Well, at least we ought to be. I was helping out this morning and noticed the eight contacts this morning. We ought to be telling more people about Christ, especially at Christmas, than just eight of us in the Sunday school class this morning. But I know that. But we got to be focusing on telling people what God has done for us. You know, I've heard several testimonies from some of your family members, of you sitting here in this congregation, about you should see what God has done in their lives. You should see how they were before they found Christ and what Christ has done in their lives now. If you only knew him beforehand, or people have told me that too, if you only knew me before Christ, you'd be amazed what God has done. Those are the stories that we need to be telling. God's at work in your lives, and we need to be sharing those stories with others, letting them know the difference that God can make in their lives as well. And finally, under the proclamation for God, we saw the obedience, we saw the observation, we saw the oration, and finally the opportunity. Verse 20. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told to them. as it was told them, they returned glorifying God and praising God. Again, all the emphasis on God, the focus is on God, not on themselves. Not saying, oh, look what happened to us, look what we got to see. No, it's saying that all the glory and honor and the worship is going to the Lord. Praising God for all the things they had heard and seen as it was told them. That they witnessed these events for themselves. And anytime we witness something this great for ourselves, it gives us the opportunity, which is the last one here, opportunity to tell others. Amen. The good news must be told. We have to tell it. If the church is not going to tell it, who's going to tell it? Right. Oh, I went this morning down to the bad place. I went down to Bojangles this morning. I know I'm not supposed to go there, but I noticed the kids drove the Suburban last night. They brought it back with a low fuel light on in the car. I don't know who was driving it, but anyway, low fuel. So you got to do something about it. So I went on down to the Shell station and got some gas in the Suburban. I was out there pumping gas in the Suburban this morning, and you know what? I heard the gospel being presented on the radio at the Shell station as I was pumping gas. They was telling me, if you need to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you need to call this station right now. And I thought, hallelujah! If the church ain't going to do it, at least the Shell station's doing it. I would, but they done did it at the Shell station. But that's what we ought to be telling people about what Christmas is really about, the true miracle of Christmas. We saw it on a video just a little while ago. Amen. Oh, the angels said, come and see, and they came, and they saw Jesus. They saw God's love. And once they came to see, they were ones to go and tell. Amen. You know, we're quick to come and see something, but we're awful slow in the going and telling. Why don't we make that a point sometime over the next few days that we tell people how much God loves them and what God has done for them. Would you do that this Christmas? Amen. It'd be the best Christmas ever. Let's go to our Lord in prayer. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we love you so much and we thank you for loving us. And Lord, I pray that Lord will, that we will go and tell. We're here today because we're children of God. We're here today because we've come. We are here today because we've seen your revelation in God's Word that we needed Christ as our Savior. And I hope that's true for everybody here today. But if not, maybe today's the day there's one here who needs to be saved. But Lord, but if that's the case, let them come during this invitation time. But Lord, for those that are saved, Lord, let us not just come and see, but Lord, help us to go and tell. We got a wonderful story to tell, the greatest story ever told. Amen. Why in the world aren't we telling it? Yes. Well, let's not let another Christmas go by without sharing the love of Christ with those that desperately need to hear it. Maybe even right under our own roofs or in our own families. Yes. Whatever it may be, Lord, let us be faithful to do that. Amen. Lord, you love us, and Lord, we love you. And thank you for demonstrating that love for us. Lord, just give us the unction, if we will, to get out there and go and tell the world that Jesus Christ is born and that he lived and then he died and he rose again. Yes. That if we trust in him, Lord, that he'll be our Lord and Savior. We have eternity covered because of the blood of the Lamb. Yes. Oh, he is the great shepherd. Amen. Lord, he's guiding us into his life, to his will, to the path of righteousness. Oh, let us follow our shepherd this morning. We ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Would you